Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, with sorrow we announce the passing out of this life, Mrs. Marilyn Boder, at the age of 80 years. We read in the Word of God in 1 Peter 1, verse 24 and 25. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever.
Congregation, let us sing Psalter 281, the first three verses. Mindful of our human frailty is the God in whom we trust. He whose years are everlasting, he remembers we are dust. It is the first three verses of 281. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the book of the Psalms, thereof Psalm 130. But first let us do confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his blessing and presence. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art that only true God, who lives and reigns above all things high in the heavens, and thou who art looking down upon us upon earth, and thou seest us, not only our outward appearance, but thou seest to the very depths of our hearts. Thou knowest each one here and all who may be listening along. Our lives are an open book unto thee. We cannot hide anything from thee. Thou seest all our sins. O Lord, we beg thee then in this evening, as we may again gather in thy house, that we may hear again what thou hast to say unto us through thy precious word. We beg thee, Lord, then, for thy presence. Lord, may we plead upon thy own promise that thou hast made in thy word. Thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. Lord, thou art a faithful to thy own word. O Lord, we beg thee then, come among us. Work mightily, irresistibly, with thy Holy Spirit, conquering hearts and comforting sinners. And Lord, again, a call has come unto all of us. Set thy house in order, for thou shalt not live but die. Prepare to meet God. Lord, we beg thee then, remember the family, the mourning Boder family. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thy word that may be spoken on the day of her funeral may be richly blessed to their never-dying souls. Oh, may the death of a mother, a grandmother, be the life of many. Oh, Lord, do wonders. Work mightily, irresistibly. Bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, wilt thou also comfort them, teach them, and us also that only comfort in life and in death. And remember also all those among us also who are mourning, those who have lost a mother, those who have lost a father. Remember the widows, those who have lost a child or children. Comfort them, Lord. Lord, we beg thee that thou would sanctify these callings to our hearts. Oh, by nature we may be moved for a little while, but then we carry on. Our hearts are so hard. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then come mightily, powerfully, and bless thy word. and that we may see that we must die because the wages of sin is death, and that we must stand before thee, a holy and just God, who can by no means clear the guilty, and we are guilty, that we have original sin and all our own actual sins. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then apply thy word mightily, and that sinners may be born again and cry out, what must I do to be saved? Oh, may there be urgency. May there be that true seeking with the whole heart of thee and of that only way of salvation that thou hast revealed in thy word through thy dear Son. Lord, we beg thee then tonight in the middle of this week, in this week of self-examination, in the preparation for the Lord's Supper, oh, we beg thee that through the preaching of thy word that hearts may be explained, and that poor and needy sinners may hear, and that thy Spirit may testify with their spirit also that thou knowest of them, that they also by thy grace, that this is their life in some measure, that they may have comfort. But Lord, we beg thee, may there also be a blessing on thy word, that there may be food and drink for hungry, thirsty, poor, needy, guilty, perishing sinners who can find no rest in anything anymore, but are longing for a visit from thee, longing for a little water on their soul, a little grace from above, a smile from above. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then rend the heavens and come among us and give that comfort thou only can give, and bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that hearts may be comforted by thyself, by thy grace, through thy Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask and beg thee to remember all those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Oh, we beg thee also tonight, oh, may there be arrows shot out, and that sinners may be mortally wounded, and that they may become lost, guilty before thee, and that they may cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Lord, we beg thee then that thou would give the unction to preach, but also ears to hear, minds to understand, but especially hearts to receive. Lord, take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh. But those hearts that have been renewed, give also that faith that thou hast planted in their hearts may be an exercise, that poor and needy sinners may be given to look outside of self unto thee, in whom there is forgiveness of sins through those wounds, through the sacrifice of thy dear Son. Oh, that his sacrifice may be comfort for poor, guilty, lost, perishing sinners. Oh, Lord, may there then be that blessing that thou alone can give. Pass us not by. Give us a good hour in thy house. Cast out Satan, and that thy word may be freely proclaimed, and that sinners may hear and receive a blessing from above by thy grace. Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Lord, there is none else who can help those poor perishing sinners sinking in their sin and in all their unrighteousness, who are overwhelmed with sin and who cry unto thee for deliverance. Lord, send help from above, and that they may experience the deliverance which is outside of themselves in thy Son. May they hear it tonight. O Lord, we beg thee then, richly bless thy word. But Lord, we beg and ask thee then also that thou would bless thy word not only here, but throughout our denomination and throughout the world among Jew and Gentile, that thy kingdom may come, that thy name may be glorified. Lord, bless all mission work throughout the world. Help all those whom thou hast called. Give what is needed, and give that we may be instruments in thy hands for thy glory, for the salvation of sinners, that sinners would be born again under the proclamation of thy word, and that born again sinners may be drawn unto thyself. O Lord, wilt thou use the law as a schoolmaster to draw unto the only Savior? Strip of everything of self and fill with thyself. Lord, we beg thee then, pass us not by tonight. Give prayer among the people, and that thou would pour forth thy Spirit, and that we may go home and say, it was good to be here because the Lord was among us. And Lord, if thou wilt not be among us, then it's all form and custom. There will be no breaking of the hearts. There will be no confession of sin. There will be no bowing in the dust before thee. There will be no blessing, no worshiping of thee, no adoration, no strengthening of poor needy sinners. O Lord, then look upon us in mercy through thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased. Come, Lord, do above all that we can think and ask. We have no rights. We're sinful from head to toe. We can only present unto thee all our sins. We're polluted. We're unworthy, Lord, but we beg it on him in whom thou art well pleased, who sits at thy right hand of thy dear Son, upon his righteousness and upon his blood, we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now this evening's worship service with singing from Psalter 184, the first four stanzas. Save me, O God, because the floods come in upon my soul. I sink in depths where none can stand, deep waters o'er me roll. 184, the first four stanzas, and the collection for tonight is for the Terra Home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, we just sang from Psalter 184. And this Psalter is from Psalm 69. A psalm similar in the first verses to Psalm 130. Both, we hear a cry out of the depths. A crying to God out of the depths. A waiting for God. A hoping in God. A longing for God, an acknowledgement that God knows all their sins, and a hope in God for salvation. Did you sing Psalter 184 with your heart in mouth? Was that an expression of how you feel in the middle of this week? In self-examine, in this week of preparatory for the Lord's Supper, recipients of grace cry out of the depths unto God. They supplicate and beg unto the Lord. They trust in the Lord. They hope in the Lord. They wait for the Lord. And they long for Him to come again. Tonight, with the Lord's help, we will consider what you can read in Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4. Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4, where we read from the Word of God, "If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Congregation, in this short psalm, only 8 verses, but in this short psalm, we read a name various times. A name in all bold letters, capital letters, Lord Jehovah. We read this in verse 1, we read this in verse 3, we read this in verse 5, and we read it 2 times in verse 7 in this short psalm. And so the theme, crying out of the depths to Jehovah. That's what the psalm was all about. One in the depths, crying out of the depths to Jehovah. 2 thoughts in connection, verse 3 and 4. First, the confession to Jehovah. We read this in verse 3. "If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" And then the second thought, the confidence in Jehovah, in the same Jehovah in whom they cannot stand before. The confidence in Jehovah. Verse 4, "But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." May the Lord richly bless His word to the salvation of sinners and the comfort of His dear people tonight. And so, our first thought, the confession to Jehovah. Who is this person who cries unto the Lord out of the depths? We read in verse 3, "If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" This man out of the depths makes a confession. Who is he? Well, we read he's a man in the depths. Verse 1, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord." What does that mean? Children, what does that mean? Out of the depths? Does that mean someone's drowning and he's crying for help? No. It's nothing to do with physical drowning. What does it mean? Let's use the Bible to explain the Bible. And so open your Bible to Psalm 69, where we read of also one who is in the depths. And this sheds light on what it means to be crying out of the depths. And this is a psalm of David. And let's read the first couple verses. 1 and 2. "Save me, O God, for the waters come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." So David is sinking. Why? Well, we read that he has many enemies. Why does he have many enemies? David, why are you sinking? What's the cause of all this? Well, then we need to read verse 5. "O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee." And so David is sinking in the depths. Especially, he's expressing the feeling of all his sins. But there's more in the Word of God. Let's turn now to Psalm 88, because in this psalm, the poet Heman also expresses of being in the depths. And in Psalm 88, we read in verse 6 and 7, "Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness in the depths. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves." He's sinking in the depths. So how do we summarize this? Out of the depths is an expression of all the sins, feeling all your sins, all your wickedness, all your flesh, and feeling God's wrath upon you. They're sinking, not literally. It's an expression of the soul. Of all the sins coming upon me and God's wrath, they're sinking down. They're helpless. They're sinking in mire. They have no standing. There's no foundation. And they just keep sinking, sinking and sinking with all their sin, all their wickedness, and all their wretchedness. May I ask you, is this your experience this week? Do you know something of this? Something of this sinking in all your sin, helpless, overwhelmed, because you just see more and more sin? What do such ones do in such a situation as they're sinking, as they're expressing all their sins in their soul coming upon them in wrath? What do they do? What do those poor, thirsty, guilty, perishing sinners do? What must they do? What do they long to do? They cry. They cry out of the depths unto Jehovah. They pray unto the Almighty God. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. They cannot be quiet. They need to speak. They need to pour out their hearts unto God. They pray. They cry to the one they have sinned against. To the one whose wrath is upon them. To that very one. They cry unto Jehovah. No, they don't just pray. They don't just supplicate. They don't just beg. And they're happy with their prayer saying, "At least I prayed." No, that's not them. That's not those sinking in the depths. They're not happy with their prayers. They're not satisfied that they did so to call works. No. What do they long for? What do they desire for? Heman, what did you desire? David, what did you desire? Poet of Psalm 130, possibly David also. What do you desire? And what do you desire, you who know something of this? Sinking in your sin. What do you desire? You cry. What do you want? You want to be heard. You want the Lord to hear. You want him to be attentive to your voice, to your supplication. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. No, they're not like the Pharisees, satisfied with their prayers and others hear them. No, they want the Lord to hear. They want the Lord to pay attention. And it would be such a wonder if the Lord would hear such a sinking wretch as them. It would be such a wonder. And they cry and they supplicate and they pray unto him. Out of the depths, they cry unto Jehovah. The poet then out of the depths makes a confession. Verse 3, "If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" What is the author confessing? Maybe you say, is this even a confession? Well, let's go slowly through this verse. What does it mean? Well, we read first, a word, mark. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? What does that mean? That means if the Lord would observe, look, record, take account, that he would see all their sins and deal with them according to their sins. And then he says in that verse, who shall stand? That literally means who could continue to exist. So the poet is making a confession. Lord, if thou would look upon all my sins and iniquities, I could not exist. I would not continue to exist. I would utterly perish. Do you know something of this confession? Is this your confession? Are you sinking in the depths, crying unto the Lord? And do you confess? Lord, if thou would mark my iniquities, I cannot stand before thee. Is it real? Is that your experience? But you say, is this really a confession? I see in the text a question mark. Is this not a question? This verse is what you call a rhetorical question. What is that, children? It's a question that does not ask for an answer. The answer is obvious, but it makes a point. It's a confession. What is the obvious answer in this verse? What's the obvious answer to the question? What does the poet know? What does the poet know out of the depths as he stands before a holy God? He knows. He cannot stand. None. None can stand. If the Lord would deal with him according to his sins and iniquities, there would only be one answer. Away. He would eternally perish. He knows none can stand before that holy God, the infinite one who is too pure of eyes to look upon such sin. And he knows he's sinned. He's sinned from head to toe, within and without. He knows no man, no woman, no teenager, no boy, no girl, no one in this church, no one in this whole world can stand before God. If he would mark their iniquities, there's only one answer, away. He knows it. It's a confession. He's bowing before God. He's bowing before the majesty, the holiness, and the justice of God, knowing who he is, knowing a little something. And they learn a little, and more. But he also knows a little something of who God is. That's how he sees himself so sinful. He sees a little something of the glory, the majesty of the holy of God in his justice, his holiness. And so he says, Lord, if thou would mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? The poet is making a confession out of his heart, out of his mouth, unto Jehovah as he's in the depths. He's making a confession to the Almighty God of heaven and of earth. But then you see the question. If thou. Is that an honest confession? Is that a true confession? Is it? What is he saying? What is he confessing? Is he perhaps saying, if this is true? No, not at all. Not at all. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities. It's not a doubting question. It's a statement. It's a statement. It's a true confession. He's saying, Lord, if thou, that holy, high, heavenly being, would look upon me and mark all my iniquities of who I am, of what I have been, and what I remain to be, there would only be one answer. I'm lost. I'm eternally lost. It's a confession before a holy God of who he is, of who God is. There's only one answer. I must be sent away, and that would be just and right. My friend, do you know a little something of this? Do you know a little something? Can you confess this with your heart and mouth before the Lord? Lord, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? And my friend, congregation, children, teenagers, older, we are going to stand before, we are in his presence now. But one day, you and I will stand in his presence before that holy, infinite being of him who is a consuming fire. You will. On the moment of your death, as we read in Hebrews 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Has this truth come home into your heart? We know it. But has this truth come home into your heart? I'm a sinner. I can't stand before him, and I'm going to stand before him. I'm going to die, and I'm going to stand before my Creator, of whom I have sinned against, and I can't stand. You know what you need to do? You need to die before you die. You say, what does that mean? That death becomes a reality now in this life before you die. That it becomes real. That it's applied by the Holy Spirit. That death becomes real. That God becomes real. Your sin becomes real. And that you cannot stand before Him without a Savior. Without grace. Without being born again. Without the Lord and His grace. And you and I will also personally stand with body and soul before the exalted returning Lord Jesus Christ in all His glory upon the throne. And you will be judged before His throne. And we read in Revelation, books will be opened. Yes, books. Think of this, reverently speaking. The Almighty God has a book. He has a book with your name on it. And all your sins are recorded in that book. It's all written down. God has a name with your book, and every single one of your sins is written down. All the sins of your thoughts, words, and deeds. Your original sin, which is already enough to condemn you eternally to hell. But then all your actual sins, all that you've done in your thoughts, words, deeds, all your sins against the law, all your sins against the gospel, all the things that you should have done and you didn't do, all the things you should not have done and you did, sins of omission, sins of commission. How will you stand? God knows every single one of your sins and my sins. He knows every single sinful action. He knows every single sinful motive in everything we do. Listen to what we read in Psalm 11, verse 4. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in the heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. He sees you. He sees me. He sees your mind. He sees your heart. He sees your will. He sees your affections. He sees your whole life that no one else can see. He sees all your actual sins. How many times do we sin a day? We don't even know. How many years? How old are you? How many sins you have? What an innumerable, immense debt written in that book. Original sin and our actual sin. Do you know it? Are you sinking? Are you sinking in deep mire and clay, overwhelmed with all my sins? Do you confess in the middle of this week with David, Psalm 40, verse 12, for innumerable evils have come past me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth. My friend, are you convicted and convinced of your sin? That your heart is desperately wicked. That your sin, that you're like a spiritual leper, filthy in the sight of God. And do you confess with the confession that we read in verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? No, do not judge yourself of what other men say. Do not judge yourself of what you think. Read the word of God. Hold the mirror before your eyes. Hold yourself, so to speak, before the word of God, before His presence, and what He says is sin. We read in Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Come short of the glory of God. He made you for His glory. And all, that includes you. That includes me. It includes all. It includes all in this whole world. And my prayer is you have not already become guilty before this holy and good-doing God, that tonight you would become guilty for the first time. It would be such a blessing. You are guilty. You are all sin before God. But has it become real? If it really has become real, then you'll also know what it is out of the depths. I cry unto thee. You'll learn and be taught to cry unto Him out of the depths. And you who are yet still dead, saying you know all this truth with your mind, still dead. My friend, you are in a desperate situation. As Jonathan Edwards said, you are hanging over the abyss with a frail thread, and any moment that thread could break, and then you will perish eternally lost. But maybe you're trying to defend yourself. You would never say it to anyone. Maybe you're secretly thinking, I'm not so bad. I'm not so wretched. I'm not so sinful. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't stolen. I haven't done horrible sins of abuse. I'm not so bad. I come to church. I go to a Christian school. I'm in a Christian home. I dress good. I go to church faithfully. I go to catechism. I go to confession faith, etc. And in your heart, no, you would never say it, but in your heart, you're resisting. I'm not so bad. I don't have so much sin. I'm really not sinful. Open your Bible, please. Listen to the Word of God. Open your Bible to 1 John 1. We'll read verses 8, 9, and 10. 1 John 1. And listen to the Word of God. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My friend, can you confess this confession? If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Do you know you're guilty, sinful before God? Oh, I pray that you would be convinced by the word of God. How will you ever stand before a holy God with all your sin? How will you ever stand before the glorious, exalted Lord Jesus Christ who will return? You will not stand. You will not cry then. Well, yes, you will cry. Not for them. You will cry, rocks fall on us. And you will have no answer to the questions. It will be guilty, guilty. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark our iniquities, then the Lord will mark them all. If you're lost, without grace, not born again, without a Savior, then you will only have one answer, condemned. Tonight, the door of grace is still open. Repent. Repent and believe the word of God, His record of what He says of who you are. Sin. Unable to stand before His presence. Believe the record of word of God. It's true what He says of you. None righteous, sinful, innumerable sins, original sin, actual sins. And all that there may then come. Hunger, thirst, for the precious gospel and for that precious Savior. There's a day coming. God is going to return. The Lord is going to return. How will you stand? Have you, my friend, brought all your sins before the Lord? Has it brought you on your knees? Have you been to cry out? Out of the depths I cry unto thee, O Lord. Have you confessed your sin? No, not just with your mouth, but with your heart. With your heart to a holy, to a just God. And have you been brought to seek forgiveness for all your sins in God through that only Savior Jesus Christ? None will stand before Him without a Savior. It will only be lost. Without Him, then God will deal with you according to all your iniquities, and He will pour out His wrath upon you eternally. My friend, God sees everything. Man can't see anything. God sees everything. He sees your heart, and He still calls, and He still warns you, telling you, you cannot stand before Him as in your iniquities. Do you confess, Lord? Thou art holy, Thou art pure, Thou art good, Thou hast made me good. I have made myself sin from head to toe. Lord, thou hast made me. I have destroyed myself. Lord, that would be right if thou would cast such a wretched one away, that I would not exist anymore, but I would be eternally cast away. This becomes the true experiential knowledge of those of the recipients of grace, of a knowledge of who they are in the presence of a holy God. And that crying and that confessing unto him. Do you know a little something of this? Of being in the depths and confessing unto him, crying, Lord, if thou should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? It's a week of preparation. How is it? How is it with your soul, my friend? Are you diligently, faithfully examining yourself in the presence of God? And do you see it's all sin? Sin. Is the Lord stripping you more? Is he convicting you more? Are you dying more to self? Are you becoming more of a wretch, more of a sinner, more filthy, more polluted, more lost, trembling more? Good. Good. Because that is the way the Lord makes room to feed hungry, thirsty, perishing sinners, because he wants all the honor, all the glory. And we, by nature, are enemies. We're not hungry, but he makes hungry. We're not thirsty, but he makes thirsty. Now, as you do that, stripping of everything. Everything. And you, sheep of the good shepherd, you especially who have attended the Lord's Supper, children of God, you who are those worthy communicants, do you see it? More abominations, more sin in my thoughts, more sin in my deeds, more sin in my affections. Last time, how has it been since the last time? Do you just see more sin? More sin? We also need to confess with David as we read in Psalm 143, verse 2, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no living man be justified. The poet of Psalm 130 was convicted of his sins, and he felt something of the wrath of God upon him. And so out of the depths have I cried unto thee, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. And he confesses, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? He knew he couldn't stand. And yet he cries. He cries to the very one against whom he has sinned. Why? Why? Why don't they just close their mouths? They can't. Why? Because the Lord has poured love in their hearts. And there's love for that holy, almighty, good-doing God. And they long. They know they're so filthy and unworthy. And yet they long. They long for what? For a little favor. For a little communion. For a little smile from heaven, a little token for their own soul, a little water in their soul, a little grace, a little loving kindness. Do you understand? Guilty, sinking, crying, confessing, but longing. Is there hope for such sinking, perishing, wretched sinners? Yes. Our second thought, but let us first sing standing from Psalter 446, stanzas 1 and 2. 446, stanzas 1 and 2. Out of the depths of sadness, O Lord, I cry to thee. Thou who canst fill with gladness, lend now thine ear to me. O fount of consolation, attend unto my cry. Hear thou my supplication, and to my help draw nigh. What 446, standing verses 1 and 2. crying out of the depths to Jehovah. We thought a little, the confession to Jehovah. Is there hope? Our second thought, the confidence in Jehovah. We read in verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. The poet knew his guilt before a holy and just God. He confessed, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? He knew he could not stand before that holy, just God because he is sin. Not only what he has done, not only his original sin, but what he has done, but also who he is and who he remains to be. He remains a sinner, and he will die a sinner. And he knows he cannot stand before God with his own righteousness because it's all filthy rags. He's just a lost, sinking beggar. A sinful, polluted beggar. Crying, hoping, begging, supplicating. Is that you? What's the hope? What's the author's hope? What's the hope of such sinking, guilty, unrighteous, perishing, polluted, guilty sinners before such a holy God? Is there hope? There's hope. In him, no hope. No hope in man. None at all. There's hope in another. And out of the depths, this man that made that confession also has confidence. Confidence. Confidence out of the depths of all the sinking and all the sin. He comes to an end. Those beggars sinking. No more confidence in self. No. That comes to an end. Maybe earlier, trying to lift themselves up. But every move, they just sink. Is that you and your soul with all your sin? Unable, sinking, unable. Never to be able to exist, to be able to come in the presence of that God whom you love because he poured love in your heart. And from your side, just lost. Their only comfort, their only hope, their only confidence comes in their heart is in God through Jesus Christ, that only Savior. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. How did the author come to a confidence? In God. That there is forgiveness in him, that one who's so pure and under whose wrath he is because of all he sinned. How did he ever come to have confidence in God? Confidence that there is forgiveness in thee and the very one that have offended in the depth of his heart, and that one who would only be just to cast away. How did he know? How could the author write this? How could any man say this? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. No man by nature knows this. Yes, we know it here, but we don't really know it here. No man by nature knows this. By nature, we're enemies. By nature, no man needs forgiveness. By nature, no man is sinking, overwhelmed in the depths. By nature, no man cries to Jehovah for deliverance. We're just comfortably lost with the doctrine of being lost. Comfortably lost with the doctrine of being lost. But God comes. God seeks. God free and sovereignly stops and gives life to perishing sinners on the way to hell. And he gives them life. And he teaches them what we learned in that first point of who they are before God. And he strips them of everything. Painful, but good for the soul. As Calvin says, he empties them of everything itself that he may fill them with the fullness of life that is in another. Painful for the flesh, for the pride, but so blessed for the soul. To just be emptied, to be filled with him, to have a little sip of the cup of salvation from him that flows from God through his Son, through his wounds, by the power of the Holy Spirit into such souls. How did he come to know that there is redemption for such a sinking sinner in God through Jesus Christ? How? And how do sinners come to know such precious truths today? To hunger for it, to long for it, but even to have confidence in it. How? By God. It's all by God. By his grace. By his word. By his Spirit. By the irresistible power. It's all by his work. And as I said, he teaches in that school of grace. He teaches. God teaches man of his sin so that he would seek salvation. God strips him of self-righteousness. It's all rags, so they would seek righteousness. He shows them how filthy they are, that they would seek something to cleanse them. And all those needs he works. It's a schoolmaster to bring them to despair? No. To bring them to Christ. Christ. He closes all other ways because by nature we try this way, by our works, by keeping the law, by being more zealous in prayer, more faithful in Bible reading, going to more church service, etc., etc., and we feel comfortable by nature, smug about self. But he closes it all off and they still stand there before a holy, a just God, lost, lost. And he reveals by his word not only who they are, but who he is. Of his glory, of his power, of his grace, of his mercy, of his graciousness through his Son, by the word and by the Holy Spirit. Oh, what blessings. It's all of grace. Psalm 130, out of the depths, a confession. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But then the next verse, but, just a little word. The poet knew himself as a sinner before a holy God. But, no hope in self, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. How did he know this? How did he have confidence? It's such a precious truth. The Almighty God revealed it through his word, through the hearing, through the reading of his word, through the preaching of the precious gospel, of those riches, of those graces that are in an almighty, holy Lord God of heaven and earth. All that blessed work of the Holy Spirit that does not only renew, that does not only strip and convince and make naked and lost and poor and needy and hungry and thirsty, but also glorifies, reveals that precious way, that only way to the Lord through his dear Son. Oh, we need the Lamb and we need the Spirit. That blessed Spirit, he doesn't draw attention to himself, but no, he glorifies Christ. That's his joy, that's his work, as the Lord Jesus Christ said when he was upon the earth. He works. So they become lost. So they become seekers for salvation outside of themselves in another, sinking in the depths, confessing, and confidence is born, planted by faith in their hearts in another. In whom? In that only Savior, Jesus Christ. My friend, are you guilty? Has God, by the word and the Holy Spirit, shown a little something of who you are? Sin. Nothing more. Sin. One mass of sin. It's everywhere. It oozes out everywhere. It keeps flowing out of your heart. And everything you see is polluted. But has he also, to you, revealed through his word and by the Spirit of who he is, through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Have you seen a little something of him? That there's hope, that he's the way, the truth, and the life. That in him there is forgiveness of sins. But in thee there is forgiveness of sins. But, that little word, that precious word, But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. How can God, that holy God, that infinite pure God, ever forgive sins? How is it possible? It's nothing to do with them that are sinking. It's nothing in them. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no wretched sinner. It's all out of him, out of his heart. He in his infinite wisdom has thought of a way, of his deep, eternal, profound love, out of his very being, of a way to be able to save such sinking wretches that only deserve to sink away eternally. How? Through his dear son. His dear son that sunk under his wrath. That he poured out his wrath upon him. Through his dear son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as that sacrifice, as that Lamb of God, to satisfy the wrath of God. And he said, it's finished. And God the Father said, amen, it's finished. And his arms opened to receive, to reach out, and to help perishing, sinking, overwhelmed, wretched sinners through his Son by the Spirit. And a sinner, a guilty, wretched sinner, sinking in all his sin, and yet that trusts in whom? Who the Father testifies in his word as the only Savior. Oh, that faith may be so small. That faith may tremble so much. But when the Father sees that poor sinner looking, longing, clinging, hoping, begging, needing him, that only Savior, he can forgive sins by faith in his Son. What wonders of grace! It's all received, all for the glory of God. And that payment can save the most wretched, vilest of sinners with an innumerable of the most hell-provoking iniquities. Of iniquities that would plunge you into the depth of hell. God pardoned Manasseh, a baby killer. He saved Rahab, a harlot. Jacob, a deceiver. David, a murderer and adulterer. Matthew, a thief. Peter, a denier of his dear Lord when he was laying down his life. And another innumerable multitude of sinners with innumerable iniquities. It's all by the wonders of his grace through his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, how does the word testify? How does God forgive sins? Sometimes we can do things, but we do it because we have to. Sometimes we can do things, but we do it kind of begrudgingly. And now with much reverence. Is that the Lord? No, that's not him. That's not him at all. He does it willingly. He does it with delight. Yes, with delight, as we read in Micah. He delighteth in mercy. He delighteth in mercy. Why? Because he delighted in that sacrifice of his dear Son. And so he can delight in mercy. And so, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. The poet has heard something. Something that there is forgiveness in God through that only way, his dear Son. And that hearing of the word worked faith in his heart. And that faith was in that only Savior, Jesus Christ. And so he could say, I'm guilty. I'm only worthy of being cast away. But perishing, yet crying. Sinking, but clinging. Do you understand that? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Do you not understand this a little? Is there that clinging? All wretchedness and yet clinging. That but Lord, but there is forgiveness. True, Lord, I only deserve to be sent away. But is there not forgiveness with thee? With thee? Is there not forgiveness at thy right hand? Is there not a lamb? Did he not make payment? Did you not send him into this world to save wretched sinners? Lord, I can't claim anything. I'm just a wretch. I can't even claim faith. It's all poor. I can't claim anything. But Lord, I heard. It's thy testimony. Thou hast said it. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. My friend, do you know a little something of the confession? And do you know a little something of the confidence? Maybe you don't even want to say it is confidence. Maybe you can only say but, and you're clinging, begging, crying as a guilty, unworthy one. But clinging to the Lord, clinging to that hope that is in Him through His Son. The yet of faith. The yet of faith. Remember that woman? That Seraphician woman who had a daughter who was grievously vexed with the devil? And she brought him. She went to the Lord Jesus to cry unto Him. And He ignored her. Then He said, you're a Gentile. And then He even said, the bread is not for it's not for you. You're not one of the children. You're not one of the Israelites. And what did she say? Truth, Lord. Yet, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She couldn't let Him go. She had that yet. You understand that? Clinging, not able to let go because of what you have heard of who He is for such a one of you, for and through His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Unworthy. Trusting, quietly, hoping, clinging, looking, waiting, sinking, but crying for deliverance. Does your conscience accuse you? Conscience accuse you? That you've broken all the commandments and that you're still inclined to all evil? Does your conscience accuse you yet this week in the middle of preparation? Look at that sin. Look at that sin. You've broken all the commandments. More sin, more sin. And does your conscience accuse you? Notwithstanding, yet trusting in the free, sovereign grace in God, that God, because and through His Son, imputes to you, that beggar, that wretched one, the righteousness, the holiness, forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Yes, that's what we read in Lord's Day 23, question and answer 60. Read it when you get home. Do you see that word notwithstanding? I feel all this wretchedness, and you confess it. Yet notwithstanding, that clinging, that hope in Him and who He is through His Son. How do we know? How do we know if we have these true confessions, if it's true in our heart? How do we know if we have a little faith, a little confidence, a little trust? Well, then we read at the end of this text, verse 4, that thou mayest be feared. What's the result? What's the result? That he will be feared. No, that's not trembling in terror. That's awe. Holy awe. Love. Reverence. Fear for God. Loving God. What's the result? What's in that heart of those who truly confess and who truly believe and taste a little something, see a little something outside of themselves and Him? There's fear. There's awe. Love. Reverence. Hoping in Him, revering Him, longing to keep His commandments. Do you fear the Lord? Is there fear? Is there the tender fear of the Lord in your hearts? Is there? We read in Psalm 112, verse 1. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. Is that your heart? You confess, trusting, hoping, but also fearing, delighting in His commandments. The Lord Jesus Christ said, if thou love me, keep my commandments, my friend. Do you know something of this life in Psalm 130? There's much more, but just a little tonight. Can you recognize, has a little something of your heart been explained from the Word of God, of the true confession, of God's grace? Yes, it's all by God's grace, but also that clinging, that confidence in the Lord. Has the Lord Jesus Christ become absolute necessary? Has he become suitable? And is he precious? Precious for your soul. More precious than anything else. And you want to live for him. You want to live for him. You love his commandments because you want to express love that he was so good, so merciful, so gracious to such an undeserving sinner. It broke your heart and you want to serve him. Do you know something of misery, deliverance, and gratitude? That's what's in Psalm 130. My friend, if you need to say, I don't know any of this, it's all strange. I don't know any of this. It's all strange language. I must tell you, you are not invited to the table, the Lord's Supper. What are you called to do? You're called to go home. Confess your sins. Bow and tell the Lord about all your sin and who you are. And beg him for that grace that he revealeth unto his saints, that you would become one who experienced the real life of Psalm 130. But you who know something, could you follow along a little? Could you follow along? Do you know something of the confession before God as a sinful wretch, crying, begging? Do you know a little something of that confidence that the Lord worked in your heart, in him and in his dear son? Did you see a little something of him? And your heart went out unto him. And when's the last time? When's the last time that he visited you? Through the word, through the preaching, through the word at home, or through the sacrament? Do you long? Are you thirsty for the living God? Thirsty? Are you a confessing, lost, guilty, confessing sinner before God, knowing you cannot stand before him because of all your iniquities? And yet there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And you have that fear in your heart, that tender fear in the Lord, of the Lord in your heart, for him and for his ways and for his son. He invites such ones, such wretched ones, to come to the table. To come. Because why? Because he wants to have communion with the desire. I've desired to eat this Passover with you. He desires. Do it for him. And he longs to satisfy your soul, your thirsty, your hungry soul with himself, with the blessings of himself, of who he is. Wait on the Lord, we read in this psalm. Wait. And he will satisfy. He will satisfy with himself your thirsty soul with him who is the bread of life. May it be so. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee that thou would richly bless thy word. Oh, may there have been comfort for poor and needy sinners. May there be also that comfort that thou knowest of them, that thou hast begun, that they love thee because thou loved them first. Lord, it's all of thee, and it will all return unto thee. Lord, we beg thee, give that thy poor people may be waiting upon thee, longing, hoping to have a visit, to come to sit. May they come with expectation, nothing in self in the midst of death, but looking for life, everything in thee and through thy wounds. O Lord, we read that thy wounds are the manner of all consolation. O may there be consolation through thy word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, but also by the sacrament of the Lord's Supper for thy dear people, that their faith may be strengthened, that they may carry on, and that thou would receive all the honor and the glory. Lord, keep us in the coming days. We pray, bring us again into thy house on thy day, and bless word and sacrament, we ask. And Lord, we thank thee for this time into this middle of the week, to be able to sit, to be able to listen and to share and to speak of the wonders of thy grace that thou hast revealed in thy precious word. Lord, forgive all our sins, we ask. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us close with singing from Psalter 362, stanzas 3. Hope in the Lord, ye waiting saints, and he will well provide. For mercy and redemption full and free, with him abide. From sin and evil, mighty though they seem, his arm almighty will his saints redeem. 362, stanzas 3. One announcement. At the back before you exit, there's a little booklet, May I Partake of the Lord's Supper by Professor Wissey. And I believe there's 27 copies. So if you have received one in the past, I think in Norwich they handed it out a while ago. If you have one, please leave it for others. And if you still do not receive one, let Elder Eric Corvor know, and we will try to order more. May the Lord bless it. Receive the Lord's blessing and depart in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.